This is the Fabric Podcast, where you can expect conversations that matter. My name is Chris Tripolino, and this week we start a new conversation, Better Than Better. I don't know about you, but that sounds like something I could use. For the next 4 weeks, we'll look at different facets of life where you might have that sneaking suspicion that there's something better than better. In places of conflict, in our communication, as we look at the broader world we're a part of, and this week, Melissa Locke will help us look at a better than better self. First, a quick skit where I got some help setting the stage for this conversation from Kenny Escher. I know it'll take some imagination, but imagine a video call among friends.
Hey!
Hey!
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, how about you?
I'm better.
Then what? Like, better than yesterday?
Sort of. Yeah, sort of. Uh-huh.
Wait, better than me?
But, you know, that's not the point. I mean, really, I guess that I just think I'm doing a really good job at all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I'm exercising every day, and I got my mile time down 30 seconds, and I am so ready for that half marathon in March. I'm going to crush it. I'm getting up early every day to get in my meditation. And I'm painting, and I got a raise at work. Did I tell you that?
Wow, you are doing better. I mean, that sounds great. It sounds kind of exhausting, actually.
Well, yeah, you think it would be, but I'm feeling really good about it. I'm feeling pretty, pretty good. Well, how about you? You said you're good. What are you doing?
Me? I mean, nothing real special. I mean, these are hard times, and I'm basically just trying to stay healthy and sane and figure out a couple things.
Thinking about changing jobs? I know you said your place is kind of a dead end for you, and I think it makes sense to switch now because the job market being what it is, they're looking for people. What are you thinking?
No, I mean, that's not really it. I'm not sure what I'm trying to figure out exactly. I mean, everything is pretty good. I just don't feel as rah-rah as you sound. I mean, are you really that super duper?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you're doing all of this stuff this year, then what are you going to do next year?
Well, I'm thinking about a marathon for sure. And there should be a director spot opening up. You know, I'll probably buy my own house. I mean, you know, who knows?
What about the next year?
I mean, what are you getting at? Are you depressed or something?
No. I'm actually doing really well. I'm feeling good. I mean, you remember my sister in Ohio? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had kind of been off each other's radar, and we've been reconnecting, and that feels really right. I mean, family's weird, but it feels important. And work is work, but it's okay. I don't know, I'm just trying to right-size life, and I'm kind of liking it.
And, I mean, it sounds like giving up. Are you sure you aren't giving up?
I really don't think so. I mean, can I ask you something?
Sure.
So what happens if you can't?
Can't what?
Well, like, if you can't run the marathon, or you can't get the job, or just can't, I don't know. I mean, I hope you can. It sounds amazing. But I was sort of just thinking about last year when you had that hot dog eating contest that sort of ended up conflicting with the charity fasting event.
Well, I mean, wait a minute, though. I didn't know that the fasting event was immediately after the hot dog eating contest. It was supposed to be the other way. And, you know, this year, what's different is, you know, I have goals, I have KPIs, and, you know, I have a smart goal app that I bought. I'm going to do it. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that it all works, but I guess I just want you to remember that I got your back. If something happens, you know, I want you to remember that I'm here for you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. You know, me too. Are we good?
Couldn't be better.
We just wrapped up 5 weeks talking through what's at the core for Fabric. These 5 core values that we see happening among us when we are at our best together as a community. They were choose connection, brave uncertainty, think big, whimsify, and share warmth. Now we're on to a new conversation about better than better. We'll be looking at that word better in relation to ourselves and our relationships and our world. So it's lucky that we have those core values all down, right? And maybe you even have developed your own personal version of your own core values that you're integrating, because now it's time to integrate something new and not only better, but better than better. Are you tired yet? Yeah, that's why we need to talk about this word, better. If life is about things continually getting better and better, like our friend in the skit seems to be going for. Thanks for that, Kenny and Chris, by the way. That was fun. But if that's what life is about, I just want to crawl under the covers. We need something better than better. But isn't that just another form of better? So I heard about a friend of a friend. She has a job that she loves, lives in a home that she loves with friends and family nearby here in the Twin Cities. Her partner loves it too, but has gotten this really great job opportunity. They don't come by often in his line of work, and it's in a small town in a different state. I think they're going. So they will be newbies there, rebuilding in almost every sense. I don't know, will that be better? I'm sure they will be wrestling with that question. It's a natural one. But what do they even mean when they ask it, right? Is it better for her, him, them? Is it better financially? Is it more fulfilling? Is it better according to what their friends or parents think? You can start seeing how we need to notice that word, better. It can get us in trouble quickly if we don't pay attention. Even if all those betters are actually worse, I wonder, is there something better than better still possible? I think there is. There is something better than better that we need to wrestle with so that we can be released from that message that tells us everything should be getting better and better all the time, or there must be something wrong. So we're taking these 4 weeks together to work with this idea of better through weekly messages in groups and with Fabric Kids. And we're hoping that gives each of us some space to get out from under those covers and begin to see some glimpses of what better than better could mean for us. Us. That's where we're starting this week, with ourselves. It's always a good place, right? Maybe the only place really to start. Fabric is about deeply weaving these 3 strands of life, that unnameable strand that we often call God, the strand of others, and then our own strand, perhaps also unnameable really, but we might call it soul, integrity, or our deepest identity. Self, better than better self. So of all those 3 strands, God, others, and self, self, others, and God, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of luck trying to control others or God. So again, it really does make sense to start here, where we can actually do something. So to get started, I want to give you a quick challenge. How fast can you list 5 ways that you need to be better? You can just do this in your head, but I want you to keep count as you think of things on your fingers, okay? I'm going to give you 10 seconds, and I bet you can rattle off more than 5. Ready, set, go. Ding, ding, ding. All right, time's up. So how'd it go? My partner Joe and I did this together, and he didn't get as many as I did. Does that make me better? Oh, or worse? Yeah, that makes my brain hurt. Clearly, we're not talking about always winning or being perfect or having no problems. Better than better self isn't about being liked or successful all the time or invulnerable to pain and struggle. Better than better self is about being at peace with who you are right now, where there is nothing to prove and growth can happen. Okay, so let's just start with this word better. It suggests some kind of change or movement, right? Movement in some desired direction. Perhaps progress toward a cleaned out attic, healthier diet or exercise routine, increased patience with your kids or credibility with your coworkers. Better sounds like a pretty good thing. Who doesn't want better? In fact, it feels pretty urgent that some things get better, right? The suffering of physical and mental illness and injury, abuse, addiction, or collectively, it feels urgent that we move away from violence and toward racial justice and thriving communities. It feels like we need a politics of solutions and a sustainable economy and a healthy planet and people living free from war and threats of war. There are things that need to get better and quick. Better is not bad. It's just that there are lots of kinds of better. And I'm afraid that the kind that is all too commonly held up and chased after turns out to not actually be better. You know? In fact, it becomes a tyrant in our lives, in our relationships, our communities, in our politics. So here's how we'll be defining this not so much better kind of better. Better. Constant progress toward a prescribed norm or ideal. Constant progress toward a prescribed norm or ideal. So this is always N plus one, right? Now, but more. Onward and upward. I picture this as life on a never-ending series of escalators or staircases. There's an up and a down, and everybody knows who's winning and hopes there's at least someone below them that they can look down on, just to feel, well, better. That might sound a little harsh, but isn't that buzzing in the background somewhere all the time? Our house isn't the spiffiest on the block, but hey, at least we mow our weeds down. Sure, you can be a distracted driver sometimes, but did you see that Yahoo blow through the red light? I realize I've been pretty blind to some things, but I can't believe how ignorant and racist those people sounded. Yikes. And then there are the times that you do make it to what you thought was the top of the stairs. Maybe you have the best lawn on the block, only to realize you didn't really care about having perfect grass. In fact, your better lawn that you wasted, spent so much time curating turns out to actually be worse for your kids. Not to mention the groundwater. Instead of serving us, better often operates like a tyrant, bent on disconnecting, demoralizing, and distracting us from what matters most. So we need something else. Something better than better. The author Anne Lamott wrote about someone who I think can help us see it. His name is David Roach. I found him on YouTube talking about his Church of 80% Sincerity, which Anne Lamott says he built inside himself. There is no physical church but his own life. So here's David. You'll hear him mention his face. So since you can't see him, I'll let you know that he was born with a severe facial deformity. All right, listen in.
By the time my Marxist illusions faded, I realized I no longer trusted idealists. To them, the ideal is more important than the human being. I began to look at life in just the opposite way, and that was the dawning of the Church of 80% Sincerity. Soon after, I began to talk about my face. When I began to perform, I became part of a community of performers with disabilities. Slowly, I stopped pretending to be normal and began to accept myself the way I was. With that kind of background, who would not be drawn to an organization called the Church of 80% Sincerity? So I made it up, the Church of Choice for Recovering Perfectionists. In the Church of 80% Sincerity, we think 80% sincerity is as good as it gets, especially in an election year. We also believe in 80% celibacy, 80% compassion. And did you know the exact balance between healing and resentment should be 80% healing, 20% resentment? This is the first postmodern church. We have no ideals. We do not try to change people by having them conform to an ideal. We try to accept people as they are. We adjust our beliefs and practices to conform to the reality of being human. Take the practice of affirmations, for example. You know what affirmations are. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. Sure you are. You lie to yourself and lie to yourself until you believe your own lies. The only way that's different from denial is just that it's a lot more work. When I was trying to learn self-esteem, I was supposed to stand in front of a mirror, look myself in the eye, and repeat, "David, I love you. David, I love you. David, ah." I turned away because I realized I did not love myself. Luckily, by then, I was a member of the Church of 80% Sincerity. We do things differently, more realistically. We don't try to change to measure up to an ideal. We don't try to change in that way. Instead, we adjust the affirmation to fit ourselves. I can stand in front of the mirror, and I don't even have to make eye contact, and I can say what I really think. "David, you're a nice guy. You have a good sense of humor. I'm sorry, I just don't love you. I guess I'm not ready to make a commitment at this time. Maybe we could just be friends." In the Church of 80% Sincerity, I've learned to be friends with myself and to grow into and through my perceived flaws.
"David, I love you. David, I love you. David." Did you feel that freeing sigh of relief? That opening up in this moment of self-honesty and acceptance? I feel like you can hear him practically stepping off the stairs of better and deciding to become himself. He'd rather be honest about his real and perceived flaws than lie about being perfect. So if better means constant progress towards some prescribed ideal or norm, getting better and better all the time, as David said, it's not long before you see, like he did, that it's impossible, and you're torturing yourself trying. You're torturing other people too, probably. So you start asking some different questions. Why am I standing in front of this mirror? What can I honestly say to myself right now? What is important to me? What do I need? What do I want? The stairway is left behind and new spaces opened up by some new questions. And you start realizing there might be something better than better. It's a lot messier than you want it to be, but it's so much less tiring than the pretending, and it feels like you. There is space for what David says, growing. So if the tyrannical kind of better is this constant progress toward a prescribed norm or ideal, better than better is simply that, growth. It involves mistakes, swerves, surprises, and detours because, well, life, right? A seed falls upside down and it squirms its way down and around a rock before it even gets to the sunlight. And even then, it spends a lot of energy growing pretty much unseen underground, wide and deep before the visible evidence of anything at all pops up for us to see. If better than better growth isn't always visible to you, does that mean it's not happening? Where you are looking and what you're expecting matter. They are part of something we all do that I think is really helpful to unpack as we wonder about what gets in the way of this better than better self. And that is comparison. Let's be real, comparison is human. We can't avoid it. And it even does some important things. But comparison can also take us to some bad places. We need to notice it and handle it with some care. I appreciate how Brené Brown unpacks comparison in her new book, Atlas of the Heart. She describes how comparison drives us with this impossible message that we somehow need to be like everyone else, but better. There's that word. Sounds like the stairway, doesn't it? Be like everyone else, conform, but compete and do it better. Climb up those stairs. Don't be stuck at the bottom. So Brené tells this story about swimming. Her competitiveness gets in her way at the lap pool, and she loves to swim. It's a big part of her self-care routine. But she would instinctively race with the person in the lane next to her if they passed her. She couldn't not compare. She needed to be at least as good, if not better, than the person in the lane next to her, no matter who it was. Why? She started wondering that, and she replaced that comparison with a healthy observation, and she used it to start wishing that person a good swim instead of trying to compete with them. That helped her let it go and swim at her own pace, and really come back to the whole reason she came to the lap pool in the first place. The health benefits, the tuning in time. Sounds a little more like weaving life deeply, doesn't it? In other places, Brown calls comparison the thief of joy and the enemy of creativity. And when left unchecked, she shows us how it can lead to some very isolating and unwoven places that we don't want to go, ultimately to shame. The very opposite of how we are seen in the fabric. We can learn to notice when we compare and instead do what Brené did. She fought against that drive to conform and compete, and she turned it into a moment of connection, a woven moment. But who am I kidding? That is not easy. And on our own, it's impossible. So I think that is where this three-stranded context for these conversations is so important. People have been wrestling with the tyranny of better for a long time, and in a lot of ways. This is not new. If our working understanding of the nature of all things, of all that we're part of, is that it all exists on a staircase of some sort, well, that means something for how we talk, for how we think, for how we interact with one another and ourselves. Religious zealots of all the great faith traditions and even non-faith traditions have acted as if that was true, that we are on a staircase of winners and losers. Yet the deeper messages across all of them, they all point imperfectly, right, but significantly to something different. Not a stair-step world, but a oneness, a withness, a connectedness of all things where it's not about power over, but life happens through power with. When I think of what it might look like to discover and grow into our better than better self within that bigger context, within that fabric, there's this image that comes to mind, and it's from one of the foundational stories of the Bible. And it's a pretty weird story, to be honest. It's about Jacob. You've probably heard it, but just like listen and remember how strange the story really is, but wonder at it with me for a second. So Jacob was renamed Israel, which means one who wrestled with God and survived. It's quite a name. So in this story, it describes this all-night wrestling match that Jacob had with a stranger who turns out to be God. And it says Jacob wouldn't let God go until receiving a blessing. I kind of wonder, was he insisting on better or better than better? Did he think he deserved it? Let's just say that Jacob didn't exactly come out on top. He walked away with a limp, but he also walked away with a new understanding of who he was and all that he was part of and this sense of purpose and belonging. Does that maybe sound better than better? There's something about this story that helps me see and hold a paradox of better than better. And it's that we win by losing. Maybe it's losing our delusions. Our delusion that we on our own can be, do, and have it all. Or that any of it is deserved or even deservable. Or our delusional desire to keep marching onward and upward, avoiding the struggles on the ground. Those struggles where we know if we go there, we will not come through without at least a limp. But when you do go there, that wrestling ground, that's holy ground. And that's where you start discovering your better than better self emerging. It's ground where you're no longer driven toward things that you have to pretend are important or that make sense for you. It's ground where you can insist on a blessing, not knowing exactly what that even means and quite sure you aren't worthy of it. This is real, lifey, human ground where 80%, that's pretty damn good. In this ground, you don't have to grow out of what you and others see as your flaws. Like David Roche said, you grow into and through them there. Remember how he used that word about his flaws? Perceived? What are your flaws? Are they perceived or real? Does it matter? How could they be cracks for your better than better self to emerge? Fabric is always looking for better questions. That's part of one of our core values, braving uncertainty. I wonder if we're gonna start calling them better than better questions now. Either way, it's a really handy practice in the face of the inevitable comparing that we do. You really cannot help but ask questions that probe how you're doing and what you are like in the eyes of others. So don't scold yourself for doing that, because you'll just be beating yourself up for something you can't control. What you can do something about, or at least practice doing something about, is what you do with those observations or questions, what you do in those moments. For example, if you think someone doesn't like you, first acknowledge that it doesn't feel good. I feel like my throat is dropping into my belly when I think about it. You know, that's a good cue for me to look out for the bully of better, chiming in with all kinds of questions. Oh God, what did I do? I bet it was that thing I said. How could I have done that? How can I make them like me? Oh, I can't do anything right. Or maybe it sounds like, sheesh, what's their problem? What a jerk. Whatever it is, pause. Breathe. Get curious. Ask a trusted friend, what could a better than better question here be? Wow, I feel like that person doesn't like me. Do I really know that? Is it my fault or their loss? Does it matter? Do I really expect everyone to like me all the time? You are now engaging in a ninja warrior power move. Brené Brown's book that I mentioned, Atlas of the Heart, is all about the power that we get access to when we can nuance our language and our thinking around our very human moments. So that is better than better self trick number one. Nuance your language around comparison. In Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown explores several different places that we go when we compare. Here they are: admiration, reverence, envy, jealousy, resentment. There's even these two great German words about finding joy in either the suffering or the success of others. And it's tempting to categorize them all into like worse and better places that we go. Which ones do I want to do? Which ones should I try to avoid? But there's that tyranny of better again, right? These are all just places we go. And all of them can be transformed into moments to weave deeper in, to wrestle with love and life, with ourselves, with others, and God, to stretch for what is better and better. For example, she describes how feeling resentful, one of those places we go when we're comparing, you know, why is my roommate just sitting there playing Wordle when I'm doing all the dishes? She's such a jerk. So when we're feeling that kind of resentment, it can be a signal to wonder about your own needs. So instead of saying, what is wrong with her? We ask a new question. I wonder what I need that I'm afraid to ask for. A better than better question, maybe. Am I overfunctioning and I just need some downtime? Is it possible I could actually take some even when there are still dirty dishes? All right, so trick number two. Name your shame triggers. So Brené gives us a way to do this. And it's just another way to have some power over that bully of better. So she says, if you want to know what's likely to trigger comparison and shame for you, fill in this sentence. So here it is. You might want a piece of paper for this. It's really important for me not to be perceived as blank. So yeah, make a list. What's on your list? This would be included in what she calls your unwanted identity. So these are things that you're probably going to start doing anything to avoid, a lot of times quite unconsciously. So if we can start noticing it, then we can maybe move to choosing something new, something connective. You feel shame. You will mindlessly think you need to improve in order to be what something outside you says you should be. But noticing it, that means you can choose something new. You can choose a better than better question that releases you from that tyrannical message that if you can't compare and keep up, you're somehow broken. So you might have received a Valentine from Fabric if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram. It was a poem from Minneapolis poet Michael Kleber Diggs, and he was reading it on a snowy day. So when I heard this poem, I heard and saw this really hard yet easy, beautiful, three-stranded wrestling match going on. I wonder if you'll hear it too. Here's Michael reading his poem called Sadie.
On a dreary wintry day, I made a solemn way and came across a bright and sunny lady. She said her name was Sadie. She stopped me on my walk. Oh no, she wants to talk, and gazed upon my frown. She could tell that I was down. She said, my friend, I love you. I said, that can't be true. We've never even met. How can you love me yet? Her answer, I love everyone I see. Your greeting is not unique to me. I laughed, incredulous. But here, I must confess, there was something in her eyes. She clearly wasn't telling lies. In my heart, I knew she meant it. The rest was mine as I saw fit. If you love everyone you meet, then what makes me especially neat? I'm as common as the next. This, she seemed perplexed. No, she said, you're just as grand, and touched my shoulder with her hand, and stared at me without any shame, until at last her wisdom came. And what follows may be hard to believe. It's testament to what love can achieve. I couldn't think of what to do. So I said, well, I love you too. And with that, my whole day started to glow as Sadie smiled and said, I know.
Thank you, Michael. So listen at least one more time. That will be good. Even better is to watch him read it on YouTube. And even better than better is getting and reading his new book, Worldly Things. The links will all be on the episode page. Thanks. So I hope you find yourself standing in the gaze of such a bright and sunny lady as Sadie very soon. Maybe she'll surprise you in a quiet stirring as you're out on a walk or as you're standing in front of the mirror. Maybe she'll show up in a song or a message from a friend. Maybe in the night when you can't sleep. When it happens, I hope you notice. And I hope you know you're not alone. And I hope you try staying. Letting yourself wrestle there a little bit until you get even a glimpse of that true, better than better self that is already inside you. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay. Honestly, I don't totally either. Just consider it. It's all I ask. And you can try this homework instead. This week, when you find yourself rehearsing your list of all the ways that you are or could be better, practice shifting to a better than better question. Don't worry about any answers, just try noticing and shifting the question. Here's one simple one that I think could be pretty powerful. It's the question, how does growth look right now? All right. Thank you everyone for listening, and we hope you'll keep up this conversation with us. We will tackle better than better conflict next week, so put on your boxing gloves and come ready for a fight. Just kidding. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.